Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 391, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. And what follows, Psalter 391, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 3, the verses 12 through 26. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 3, the verses 12 through 26. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof ye are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he is so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, as saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up a son, Jesus, send him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. We hope to remember in prayer Paisley Clark, who has been admitted to the Lethbridge Hospital, and Mrs. Corrine Liefting, who may be home from the hospital with a weekend pass and hopefully may be dismissed later this week. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, almighty Lord God, the creator and the upholder of the heavens and of all the earth, and then thou art a good-doing and a faithful God, a word thou was granted unto us and our dear children another Lord's Day. And then thou wast watched over us, thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death, but we may still all be in the precious day of grace. And then we have been showered by many a blessings, although there are many sick amongst us. And then we commend them unto thee, and that this sickness may not be unto death, but may it be unto thy glory. And when the sick may be enabled to listen along, may it be granted in this day as with the butler, that they may be given to remember their faults, because, Lord, we take so much for granted our health, and also when we may freely and unhindered come up to thy house, and when there are those that are too sick to listen along, and may it please thee to then yet grant thoughts about their soul of thee, of that never-ending eternity, and of that one thing needful, that our sin-sick soul, that it needs to be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be reconciled with thee. And Lord, we humbly beg of thee, may then the means of grace in this morning, may they be blessed to that end. And then in this morning hour, not only the audible gospel hopes to be proclaimed, but also the visible gospel hopes to be administered in the midst of the congregation. And then also for this father and mother, then thou maketh the difference where there is no difference, where it was planned, where there would be two more fathers and mothers with their little children, and one father and mother with their oldest daughter in the hospital. Wilt thou graciously spread thy wings over her, and grant unto the physicians wisdom and understanding, that she may receive healing, Lord. I do remember that father and mother with their children, where their trials have been manifold so often in the hospital, and hitherto thou hast been a wonder-doing God. May all the callings be sanctified. And another father and mother with a sick child, where they could not be present with us. Lord, so we commend this young father and mother unto thee, where for the second time in their married life, thou hast blessed them with a little child. All reasons to be humbled under thy goodness and under thy mercies. And then thou knowest how these parents have come up to thy house. May it have been with a prayer and with a sigh, that thy special presence may be experienced, and that it may please thee by thy free and sovereign grace to do for their little son, but also for father and mother, what is declared, so richly declared in the sacrament, and that is the way that the greatest of sinners, the filthy of sinners, may be cleansed from all their sins. Lord, wilt thou grant unto these parents that oftentimes, as there were those in the time when thou wast dwelt upon the earth, that they have brought their children with a desire that thou would take them up in thy arms, that thou would bless them, and that thou would pray over them. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. And, Lord, do help them with their oath. Thou knowest how it is in their hearts in this morning hour, where thou art an all-seeing, an omniscient God, and thou knowest how it is in our heart. And then thou requires a true heart. Thou requires a heart with those upright desires and longings, a heart that may say before an all-knowing God, Lord, thou knowest all things, insufficient of myself, but yet a desire wilt thou grant his father and mother what is necessary to that end, and with the profound impressions that we and our children are traveling and hastening to a never-ending eternity. The family circle has experienced that we do not all become the age of the strong, but on account of different reasons, ushered into eternity. We commend unto thee the grandparents, the great-grandparents, a special mourning, an added blessing, but also an added responsibility. We commend unto thee all the family circles. Remember those that have experienced disappointments in their married life. Wilt thou continue to uphold them? We commend unto thee all the families that are expecting a child. Do graciously watch over mother and child, and gladden them in due time with thy deeds. And the family circles that desire more children, we commend them unto thee. Ah, Lord, may it also be as a congregation, with those earnest desires that more spiritual children may be born in the kingdom of God by the loving and the almighty work of thy Holy Spirit, sinners to be uncovered to their lost condition, sinners to experience that they can never save themselves, but also sinners that may receive a revelation of the dear Son of God, our Lord. Then we may humbly ask thee that the sacrament of holy baptism may be used to that end, for the strengthening of the faith of thy people. Do then bless the means of grace, that the unconverted may be converted, false foundations uncovered. But, Lord, for thy people, we have heard out of thy holy word of that great prophet who teaches his people by word and by spirit. And, Lord, thou knowest how dark it can be. Thou knowest how dark it can become. And then the psalmist of old has declared that he was brought low, even declared very low. It can be times in the life of thy people that there is such an obscurity concerning what has happened in the past, so dark concerning the present, and also concerning the future. And then the need to be much at the throne of grace, to need thy dear Son as their prophet, that he may be instructed in the priestly office of the mediator, and to walk in the footsteps of the King, our Lord. Wilt thou then do in thy house what thou by renewal hast done in the realm of nature, where thou hast granted gentle showers upon the thirsty earth, kept from storms of destruction? Wilt thou so in this hour send down those gentle showers of thy Spirit upon young and old? May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Lord, we commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted. The mother who was in the hospital may be home for a day. She is called upon to return. Thou knowest the weakness and the difficulties of her mind, and it is hoped that in this week that she may be dismissed, Lord, Do remember her with her husband and with her children, and that all these callings, that they may be sanctified, that they may be used for true conversion. Wilt thou remember all amongst us who struggle with depression, weakness, and difficulties of the mind, many a time when they can see it no more? Wilt thou continue to remember and to uphold them? Remember all under the physician's care, those taking treatments. Remember all sick relatives. Lord, do continue to remember all the mourning ones amongst us. There are many, and those places remain so empty. Ah, Lord, may this mourning be used, that it may bring forth an other mourning. And that is a mourning because of our sins, those bitter sweet tears, that mourning because of that missing of thee. Lord, do it for thy honor and for thy glory. Wilt thou remember all the elderly ones, the crosses, the burdens, and do continue to remember the handicapped ones. Lord, we now humbly ask thee for thy gracious help in this morning hour with the administration of word and of sacrament. Ah, dwell richly amongst us. Grant special tokens of thy favor. Grant a prayer for one another, bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfilling the law of Christ, and that with profound impressions. Send away undeserved. Also concerning the past week, ah, Lord, may there have come a people up with an impression of their sins, but also of thy goodness and of thy faithfulness, and of that one thing needful to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God with exercises concerning the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. We shall now read the form for the administration of baptism, which you can find on page 126 in the back of the Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes, through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, as so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. And this also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith, and therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon this child and incorporate him by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that he may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that he may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that he may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. We now ask the parents to arise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifested that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely upon these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized? Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation? Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see this child, when come to the years of discretion, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause him to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power? What is your answer before the Lord and in the midst of this congregation, Father Martin van Dijk and Mother van Dijk? Parents, then in this morning hour, then you have special reasons to be humbled under and before the Lord in His house. Also in this morning, the Lord makes a difference. We had thought that there would be three sets of fathers and mothers with their child to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant, and on account of sickness, the other parents could not be present. Then by renewal in your married life for the second time, the Lord has blessed you with the birth of a little child. And David has said in Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What a wonderful creation of God a little child is. And now, parents, your little child is not able to do that with his mouth. And how has it now been in the life of father and mother? Were there those moments that you have truly become small and humble, given to be wonder, that the Lord has made everything so wonderfully well, but also those profound impressions when you were holding your little child, that you were holding eternity in your arms. And we have heard it, conceived and born in sin. Job 14, verse 4, who can bring a clean out of an unclean, not one? But also the need for your child to receive that one thing needful. And now, father and mother, now you may be privileged, greatly privileged, that you may present your little child in a special way before that great and majestic God, and to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant and the Lord's thrice holy name upon his little forehead. Then when you return home, then you are taking a God-bearer to your dwelling. And now the sacrament, oh, the water declares our sins, our filth, but oh, father and mother, the water points to that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. And to that end, it is so necessary that you are a praying father and mother with profound impressions, what you need, what your children need, and for the need of the work of the Holy Spirit to be taught those divine mysteries. Oh, in this morning, then the sacrament yet declares that the King, that he is still gathering a church and working from generation to generation. And how does the King now gather his church? By word and by spirit. And therefore your solemn responsibility, you have promised it with an oath. No, there is not asking the question whether you shall be a perfect father and mother, but there is ask concerning your heart, how it is inside, whether you shall do your utmost to instruct your children when come to years of discretion, and that needs to be by teaching, by example, and by prayer. The Lord grant us help. The Lord grant a place at his footstool. The Lord remember you as young parents with your children. You may be seated. our grandparents and great-grandparents. And then also a special mourning for you, when you may witness that of your seed, that they may receive the sign and the seal of the covenant, a great privilege, a great blessing, but also a great responsibility, the need that our seed is carried upon the wings of prayer. Oh, the Lord, also remember fathers and mothers with prodigal sons and daughters that are seeking it elsewhere, whether in the world or an easier way. May the Lord, there is nothing too wonderful. It is not the general way, but there is nothing too wonderful for the Lord. And now for all family circles and for fathers and mothers, the last time, then we have mentioned different points which a Reverend Willison has written in a book concerning the sacrament of holy baptism. He has lived from 1680 to 1750, and then we have mentioned different points pertaining to the congregation. But then he has also listed different points concerning to parents. And thus for fathers and mothers, then there ought to be, not only with the baptism, but also when we may witness it, to be given to reflect how it was in our lives. And then he has written the following. In the first place, a public acknowledgement and confession that we and our children are all conceived and born in sin. Secondly, a bewilderment and acknowledgement where in the sacrament of holy baptism it is so richly declared the remedy for the chiefest of sinners to be saved. In the third place, to wonder at God's grace that Christ has also instituted the sacrament of holy baptism to declare the work of a triune God. And then in the fourth place, then he has spoken that parents with the baptism of children, but that also applies when we witness it, to rededicate themselves fully as they have been dedicated to the Lord when they were baptized. In the fifth place, to be fervent in prayer. Sixthly, to diligently study the scriptures concerning these truths, and that, of course, together with our children. In the seventh place, to dedicate and surrender their children to God. In the eighth place, that as parents, that we do all that we do our utmost for them, which all that lies in us, for their welfare, temporal and eternal. And then in the ninth place, for parents to examine their heart, whether they are partakers of this grace signified in the sacrament. And concerning those 9 points, how is it, fathers and mothers? Then we see the need for much prayer, and also concerning our solemn obligations, concerning our family circles, that we need what the sacrament of holy baptism, what it testifies of, and that is to receive the pardoning of our sins. May it please the Lord. Have a few guilty and burdened sinners come up. more and more uncovered to their sins, a people that cannot miss the Lord, that know not how to be saved, all in nominal Christendom. They can all have an order in their mind, but it is the work of the Spirit to uncover deeper and deeper. Do not know how to be saved, such a sinner as I am. May it, the Spirit then use the sacrament to that end, that guilty sinners, when they see the water sprinkled, that by true saving faith they may look upon the precious blood of Jesus, which cleanses from all sins. While the child is being brought in, we ask the congregation to sing of Psalter 170, stanza 1. Praise waits for thee in Zion. All men shall worship there and pay their vows before thee, O God, who hearest prayer. And what follows, Psalter 170, the first stanza. O Weston Cornelius, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We now ask the congregation to arise and to sing of Psalter 425, the fifth stanza. Let us close with thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou will be pleased always to govern this baptized child by Thy Holy Spirit, that he may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee, and Thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. Psalter 21, the four stanzas. O Lord, be Thou my helper true, for just and godly men are few, the faithful who can find from truth and wisdom men depart and what falls. Psalter 21, the four stanzas, and the extra collection today is for the school. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 3, the verses 22 and 23. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Our text words speak of Peter's declaration concerning the promised prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, with three thoughts. In the first place, the clarification concerning this prophet. Secondly, the command concerning this prophet. And in the third place, the warning concerning this prophet. Peter's declaration concerning the promised prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. The clarification, the command, and the warning. A beloved congregation, at the beginning of this chapter, then a great wonder has taken place. There was a man that was born lame, sitting before the temple, begging for a few alms that he may provide for himself. And then Peter and John, by the power of the risen Christ, then that lame man was given to walk. No boys and girls. He did not need weeks of therapy, but immediately he wasn't able to walk. But then there was another wonder, and that other wonder was that he was found in the temple leaping and praising God for his wonderful healing. That is not something that we have of ourselves. Then also at the moment sickness is going through the congregation, there have been those that have been restored. And how is it now with that praising of God? And then, of course, already a blessing when with our mind that we may have profound impressions of the mercies of the Lord for his caring and sparing hand. But that true thankfulness, that is a gift which Christ has merited for his true people and which is given by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. And then it is written that there were many that were given to bewonder that man, leaping and praising God, that they were given to notice the Lord's special hand. And now in this morning, oh, it is a great wonder when a man lame from the womb, oh, what a privilege and what a blessing it then is when fathers and mothers may receive a healthy and a well-born little child. But what is now a greater wonder, congregation, for a man that was lame from the womb, that he was given to walk or when the Lord grants unto a father and mother a little child. David the Psalmist in Psalm 139, we have mentioned the text, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And now the apostles, it was Peter and John, but we have heard it, that Peter, he was given to preach, he was given to speak. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel. Then Peter was given to realize that there are special circumstances and special moments, that hopefully that the human heart is a little more receptive to the things of the Lord. Of course, it is necessary that wonder of free and sovereign grace, that the Lord grants a new heart, that the Lord opens our heart for the things of the Lord. But then certainly also in our chapter, then when that man was healed, many have known and many have seen him for so many years a begging, and now no longer a begging, but leaping and praising the Lord. Oh, then certainly, then humanly speaking, then the human mind shall be more receptive for the things of the Lord. It is a privilege for fathers and mothers with the birth of a child, that they may become small, may become humbled, busy with the things of the Lord, a profound impression, embracing a little child with a body and with a soul, and with a child that had a beginning but that shall never cease to exist, a child traveling to a never-ending eternity. And we know not the day of our death. And now was in our chapter, then Peter is given to preach. Oh, he has begun with the law, with that uncovering work, to preach that people know that Peter could not do it, but the Spirit uses his word to preach that people in the guilt. Some time ago we have spoken from Luke 24, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached unto all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then we have heard what a wonder it was for Jerusalem, the most guilty city upon all the earth, and it is now the work of the Spirit to make a people like Jerusalem, that have sinned everything away and that are given to learn that they have not only sinned against the law, but that they have also sinned against the gospel, because we have heard it. No, Peter did not mince words. He did not try to covet the smile of men or fear their frowns, but he has spoken very clearly and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof ye are witnesses. And now with Peter in a sermon, then he was given to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was risen from the dead. And then Peter has said, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Of course, through our deep fallen Adam, we have lost the image of God. We have lost that true knowledge. Our understanding has become darkened. But congregation, can we now as a people that have been brought up under the truth, have heard the word, witnessed the sacraments, can we then really plead our ignorance? Oh, do you sometimes think of it when we shall have to appear unconverted before the judge? Which arguments shall we then still have? Our old fathers have said, with all our excuses, keep them for the great day of judgment, and then see what shall become of them. I read in Romans 3, verse 19, that every mouth must be stopped and the world become guilty before the Lord. And now, then Peter is given to explain in our text, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Thus then Peter is given to speak of the prophetical office of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in this morning, after the birth of a child, then Christ, this prophet, is also given to speak, to explain the wonderful works of grace, the possibility, the sureness in the sacrament of holy baptism. And then Peter is given to quote the words from Deuteronomy 18, the verses 15 through 18. And then Moses has spoken to the Israelites in the plains of Moab, when they soon hope to enter the promised land, that the Lord in due time, that he would raise up a prophet out of the brethren like unto me. And then our children can understand that Moses was given to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Moses has said, like unto me, that signifies that Moses was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in many ways. If we think the circumstances that Moses was born under, you know it, boys and girls, that the children of Israel, that they were in Egypt, and they were placed under taskmasters, and they have groaned and wept unto the Lord. They have asked the Lord for a deliverer, that the Lord would raise one up that would deliver them and their children out of the house of bondage from that terrible tyranny, and that they may be set free. Oh, so it was also with the greater prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we hear the church pray in Isaiah 64, verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow away at thy presence. Then Moses was persecuted in Egypt. And so the Lord Jesus Christ has also went down into Egypt. And now concerning Moses, we read at different times in the scriptures that when Moses was born, read in Exodus 2, he was a proper child, also declared in Hebrews 11, and in Acts 7, when Stephen has spoken of Moses, that he was fair, and in the original, That means that he was fair unto God. Oh, more so concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, think of the wise men where they have seen the king, where they were given to worship to Solomon of old has declared, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured out upon his lips. A prophet like Moses. Moses was given to teach. Do we not read of the Lord Jesus Christ at the Sermon of the Mount in Matthew 7, verse 29, that he spoke with power and authority? And when the rulers have sent certain of them to arrest, then they have returned in John 7, verse 46, never man spake like this man. Oh, a prophet. Do you need that prophet, congregation? Has that need now been born in your heart for that great prophet to instruct concerning the mysteries of salvation? Oh, we have not time to compare it all. Let us just mention, oh, Moses, after they have made the golden calf, send everything away, the children of Israel. In Exodus 19, before the law was given, they have promised Moses, all that the Lord commandeth we will do. They have confirmed it after the law was heard in Exodus 24, two times. And then they have sent it all away. I've heard it of the form not to live in sin when we fall into sin, that we do not despair. But what do we now need? Does the church need? They need a mediator, and a mediator, boys and girls, that is one that brings two parties together that are so far apart. Oh, then Moses in Exodus 32. Then he went up in the mount. And there he has become the intercessor for that people that have sinned everything away. So likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, one mediator between God and man. Do we not read in Exodus 34 that when Moses, when he has returned from in the presence of the Lord, that they have put a veil on his face, and so in the Mount of Transfiguration, a glorified Christ. The children of Israel have expected that prophet, because in John 1 verse 21, when the priests and Levites, when they were sent, they have asked whether he was that prophet. And in John 6 verse 14, after the feeding of 5,000, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Our second thought, the command concerning this prophet. And then we read, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he saith unto you. In our text words, we read that word shall 5 times. It's not maybe, perhaps, or likely. It is a shall. And now this prophet, oh, then we can draw many lines to the sacrament in this morning, that after the wonder of a birth of a child, now the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the sacrament of holy baptism, than what's simple. It is true. The sacraments are such a mystery, and the church needs light to understand it aright to that end. So many errors have crept in the church through the ages concerning the sacraments. But now in this morning, then Christ is prophet, then in the visible gospel, then he is given to declare the priestly office of Christ, what he has done, that he has come upon the earth, taken the sins of his church upon him, satisfied justice, and to that end made a way possible that the chiefest and greatest sinners can be saved. And now in our text it is written, at the end of verse 22, him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. Thus that is a divine command. And in the verses 18 through 26, then we read the word prophet six times. It's not the only voice that comes to us. There are many other voices. The voice of our evil, unbelieving heart. The voice of the world. And the voice of the devil. And then we have heard it last week, that Elymas, that has withstood the apostles, tried to draw the deputy away from his faith, then the need that there is much prayer. And now in our text, a divine command, him shall ye hear. Also concerning the sacrament of baptism, the precious instruction, then our text is declaring we must pay attention and beg the Lord that we may hear indeed. And now concerning that shell, then concerning the living church, then it is our responsibility and our calling to give earnest heed to the word of the great prophet. And in our text it does not say some of the words, does not say most of the words, but it is specifically mentioned, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And how is it now with that hearing? No, we cannot give ourselves a new heart. But the Lord has given us ears. And is there now a willing hearing accompanied with prayer, that we may hear all what the prophet, by the inspiration of the Spirit, has written, has given unto us? But now what is necessary? Oh, those shells of the covenant. Oh, the Lord has wrought so wonderfully on the day of Pentecost. 3,000. They shall hear. Oh, do we not read in Isaiah 43, verse 13, I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it? That is that precious, irresistible, and loving work of the Holy Spirit. And then they shall hearken unto the prophet. Then all things become new, also the word. Then we hear with different ears. Then everything becomes real in our life. And it is now the work of the prophet by his Spirit to make us true people teachable. The nominal Christendom, they can all figure it out. some emotions, maybe some convictions, and they take the name of the mediator upon their lips, but they have never become that lost and hell-worthy sinner. They have never learned what Peter has said unto them, also the sin against the gospel, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whether ye are witnesses. Our last thought, the warning concerning this prophet. And then in verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Every soul. It's not say some, many, or most, but every soul, this congregation, then it is declared in our text for every boy and girl, man and woman, which will not hear, this Peter is speaking of our will. And that makes a separation. Ah, for the Lord's people. That becomes a willing people. In the day of his power. But the Spirit shall show them. They shall be given to reflect their former life, but also the present. But now, congregation, our text speaks of our will. We all have a will. Does it speaks of our desire? And now it speaks of souls that bluntly refuse to listen to the prophet, that harden their heart, grieve, even quench the spirit. Then we see in our text the need for much prayer. But that will not hear, when the Spirit works. Then that people, Psalm 25, verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Then that people learn how ignorant they are, and they need to pray with Psalm 19 to keep from hidden presumptuous faults. They are given to pray for the deeper uncovering of the Holy Spirit, not only concerning the law, but concerning the things of the gospel, also concerning the riches thereof declared by Christ this prophet in the sacrament of holy baptism. And now the solemn admonishment that every soul, also fathers and mothers, concerning the oath which they have made with the baptism of their children, when they do not take heed, when they do not give an example, not teach their children, which will not hear that prophet, shall be destroyed from among the people. When we read the scriptures, for a people that have refused, bluntly refused, that have chosen the world, the service of the world, above the service of the Lord, when they grieve, when they quench the Spirit, then in the scriptures, what an examples we have of the troubles and the tribulations that have come upon that people. And the Lord is very long-suffering, but when a people abuses that long-suffering, then that long-suffering comes to the end, and they shall be destroyed. Oh, the children of Israel have experienced it. in the land of Egypt, that when Pharaoh, that he would not hearken to the prophet Moses, when he has each time by renewal hardened his heart, that finally he was destroyed. And also for the coming generations, what a responsibility, because they read in 1 Kings 14, verse 16, concerning Jeroboam, who was set up those golden calves in Bethel and Dan, who was drawn the people of Israel away from the true worship of the Lord. And then the Lord has pronounced and shall give Israel up because of the sin of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. So fathers and mothers, grandparents, office bearers, what a profound responsibility. But then Peter has also added encouragement concerning the covenant, the promises of the covenant. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant, which God made with our father, saying unto Abram, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up a son, Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And then the proclamation of Peter, we shall close with that text. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Let us close. Lord, by renewal, we commend this father and mother with their child, with their children unto thee. What they have answered, what they have witnessed, may they bring it before thee in prayer and supplication, and ask for not only listening ears, but open hearts to give heed unto the instruction of thy dear son as prophet concerning his priestly office, and to choose him as king. Lord, we commend also unto thee a young couple who were united in holy marriage in this past week. It is their first Lord's Day as husband and wife. Wilt thou grant thy blessing? Wilt thou remember us in the furtherance of this day? May we be given to keep the Sabbath day holy. Help fathers and mothers with the children to that end. Remember all the sick and the afflicted. Return us to thy house in this evening hour, and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 49, the three stanzas. The ends of all the earth shall hear, and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The second wedding announcement of Willard Evers and Marion Janine Vischer. The wedding service is scheduled for Thursday, July 10 at 10 a.m. in Brant County, with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. Psalter 49, the three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.